4:11 at night, and I went to my computer to hit a shot of the car and wait on. And the computer that I use for the church gave me the black screen of death. And that is when you boot it up and it comes up, and there's all these things, and you push F1 and F2 and F10 and F12, and it just says, not happening, buddy, you know? And so then the screen went all blue, and so I didn't get a chance to do the PowerPoint, so I apologize. But Psalm 68, I want to just start with reading a few verses, because this is really the heart of God. We talked about, we just talked about this scenario in India that's so grieving. You know, when you think about people being sold into prostitution, if here's a husband selling his own wife and his own daughter in this one of the 300, right? Two of the 300 that we're trying to rescue. You think about God's heart toward what we would say maybe the least of these. God's heart toward the forgotten. God's heart. And here it is in Psalm 68. It says, a thought that he had rejoiced before the Lord. His name is the Lord. Rejoice before him, for he is a... Oh, you got my notes. Good. He is a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of widows. Is God in his holy dwelling. For God sets the lowly in families, and he leads forth the prisoners with singing. And so it talks about, and you're not going to see all this in the notes, but it talks about the heart of God, the Father, as a father to the fatherless. The heart of God the Father is a rescuer for those that are in darkness. The heart of God the Father as wanting to put the lonely people, those that are isolated, separated into families. It talks about how we would see this ministry focused and how God's desire is to give us opportunities like this to care for some of those that might be the least of these, right? That might be the forgotten. And so here's this woman. The reason that J. Paul was able to rescue her is because she was burned 3/4 over her body, and she was a reject in that culture now. There's nothing she can do. And in a sense, she was a widow. Her husband just pushed her away, right? And she'd been sold into prostitution. And so he actually paid money, his ministry paid money to rescue her. And then when he rescued her and heard her story, that's where he started asking questions, and he found out what was happening in this city, not too far from where his orphanage is. And he said, we can do something. Right? This is the heart of God. We can't stand by and let these women and these kids be abused and used this way, right? It's happening in our world all around us. And they're forgotten. They're forgotten. And the heart of God is saying, folks, we got to wake up, right? We got to know the times we're living in. We got to know the seasons we're living in and realize that, man, I'm telling you, we got to do it. We are blessed beyond measure. And it's not that God doesn't want us to be blessed. He does. That's his desire, right? He blesses. But there are needs out there. There are people out there that are broken, that are oppressed, that are poor, that are needy. And this is the heart of the Father, a defender of the fatherless, a care for the orphan, for the widow, placing the lonely in families, rescuing those that are oppressed in darkness. And so this morning, I want us to just look at, that was last week we talked about that, from Psalm 68, but I want to build off of that and read just a couple of verses. So could somebody turn to Luke 14 and read verses 12, 13, and 14 for us nice and loud? Luke 14, 12, 13, and 14. Yes, do I have volunteers? Anybody? Yes, Jeff's got it. It's not going to come up on there in that sense, but Luke 14, 12, 13, and 14. And then I'm going to give out a few other verses and assignments for our time this morning. So go ahead, Jeff.
Then he turned to his host. When you put on a luncheon or a dinner, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will repay you by inviting you back. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then, at the resurrection of the godly, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you.
Who could not repay you. So it's Friday night. We had helped Becca move in. We had gone to the losing Mets game, but we had gone to Citi Field. We were able to see a game, enjoy some of that time there. It's now 11:30. I dropped off the girls, Joy and Becca, at her new apartment. I'm looking for a parking spot. And as I look at my fuel light and all that, I start to see, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was just low on gas. And so I go by this gas station, and I'm in downtown Manhattan. It's a Saturday night now. It's 11:45, 11:40. It's Friday night. Sorry, Friday night. And so I pull up at this gas station. As I get out of the gas station, I read on the sign, for credit, go inside. And I'm like thinking, okay, yeah, I get that. And so inside is right over there and all that. And so I start walking inside, and all of a sudden this man approaches me. And he says, hey, sir, can you help me? You know, and my first reaction, I don't know about you, but Friday night in Manhattan, emotions, you know, not knowing who this stranger was, emotions probably jumped to what does he want? You know, what am I after here? What am I going to face? And so all these emotions running through my mind. But there was something in his eyes that just told me God wanted me to talk to him. That's something in his eyes that told me I can't overlook. No, just make me look, buddy. You know, something. And it's that prompting of the Holy Spirit, right? When the Holy Spirit prompts us, even those moments. Now, I wouldn't recommend this if you're a woman by yourself at night. I'm not saying go for that, you know. But I'm just saying, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit to hear the heart of God toward the needy. And in that moment, I just, and he began to share just a little bit, and I began to hear just a little bit, and I said, sir, I'm going to just go inside, take care of this, and I'll be right back to talk to you some more. And so I went inside. It took me a little bit longer to take care of it because the guy said, it's not taking your credit card. I said, why not? He said, well, this is actually a high-risk area, and so a lot of credit card companies reject it because they think we're trying to steal. I'm like, oh, this is great. You know, I'm in a situation and all that stuff. So I had to whip out some cash, and So I did it, and I go back outside, and there he is waiting. So I just start finishing up that conversation, talking to him. And of course, he was asking for money. And I get it that he could have been drinking the money, or he could have been drugging the money, or things like that. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to demonstrate Christ and give him some. And so I was able to give him some and bless him and impart something that I felt like the Lord wanted me to impart in that moment, right? And then I got my gas and I got out of there. And as I think about that, you know, you might say, not too smart, you know, if you're thinking about the situation. That's what the Holy Spirit directs us to do in those moments, right? And he gives us grace in those moments. And we make our judgments and we make our assessments and say, oh, man, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this person. I'm in a dangerous place. Or, I mean, they're rejecting credit cards here because the companies don't even believe, you know, man, I need to get out of here. But God directed me to somebody who needs. God's going to direct you to people who need in those moments. And I don't know that I changed the guy's world, right? I don't know what the seed that's sown in somebody's heart in a moment like that is going to bring about. But I know that God calls us to obedience, to be a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, to set the lonely in families, to release prisoners from darkness. This is the heart of God. This is what he's called us to. And for many of us, I think we think about ministry more in glamorous terms, right? We think about it more in, can I get up and preach? No, this is cool. Can I teach in the kids? And that's awesome. And all those things have such value and are important in the kingdom of God. But boy, that next time you bump into that person that's sticking out their hand, or maybe they're too ashamed to stick out their hand. Maybe it's one of your neighbors. I said last week, the widow down the road, or she's a single mom because she's divorced. That's out in 90-degree heat cutting her own grass. And here I am, fully able to step in and say, Lord, use me in a situation like this to be a defender of the widows, a father for the fatherless, to set the lonely in families, to release prisoners. And so as I look at Psalm 68 and I think about what Jeff just read in Luke chapter 14, Don't invite the ones that can pay us back. There's nothing wrong with having a dinner party. I'm going to invite you guys and all that stuff. And yeah, they might invite you back. But the idea here is Jesus is saying, care for those who can't care for themselves. Care for those who can't pay you back. Invest in those who are in that place of desperation, a place of need. So part of our mission is to search out those who are in need of Christ's help. Now, if we live truly by need, we'd be overwhelmed, right? Because if you truly saw all the need that's out there, what's happening in India, what's happening here, what's happening in downtown Raleigh, what's happening in Garner, what's happening at the abortion clinic, what's happening here at the camp, I mean, need, if you're driven by need, you're going to be overwhelmed. You can't be driven by need. But you can be driven by the Holy Spirit to identify the needs that he's called you to meet, that he's called you to care for. So one of the things I so admire about what Greg's doing is he's called him, and I believe a number of us, to pray and to intercede for those babies who can't call out help for themselves. They can't. They don't have a voice. And so we become a defender of the fatherless, right? A father to the fatherless, a defender of the weak that can't call out their name. God brings them our way. And so the question I think we'd ask, I see is, are we listening to serve them? Are we in the place where, you know, I struggled with fear. I don't know if you would have had the same feeling. I'm guessing you would have. Then I struggled with fear in that moment. This guy's approaching me. What has he got on him? Is this something? Am I going to be a statistic? You know what? And yet in that moment that the Holy Spirit comes and gives us assurance and authority and power that we can just declare who we are, that we stand as a plate, as a vessel, that we can be a to focus on that place of need. So let's prioritize our focus, line 7 there, prioritize our focus on his mission. You know, a number of us struggle, we wrestle with fulfillment, we wrestle with, you know, satisfaction in that sense, we wrestle with happiness, we wrestle with contentment in that way. And the truth is that we found ourselves in a place of service, a place of giving, a place of laying down our lives more and more often, we'd be fulfilled. How's it feel, man? You walk away from them, worship them. How's it feel when somebody says, I'm going to say, my baby. Oh, amazing, right? You know that you could go 40 days and never see a person. And now all of a sudden, you fulfilled. You talk about fulfilled. You talk about being at the top of your game. You talk about excitement. Let's see what movies are on. Now, again, those things are nice and a blessing. But there's somebody right outside my door, or somebody right down my block, or somebody right down at the gas station, or somebody down there at that shelter. And I'm just so concerned about how unfulfilled I am, and I'm trying to satisfy it with what the world is offering, and all that garbage I'm piling in and piling in. I'm finding myself completely empty, and God's saying, here it is. Fatherless and fatherless, defender of the weak, widows, set the lonely in families, release the prisoners. You want to walk in that measure of fulfillment that God has called us to walk in? It's about loving, it's about giving, it's about serving, right? He said, if you want to gain your whole life, what do you got to do? Lose it. If you want to live, what do you got to do? Die. Oh, Lord, I want to live. I want to live. Die. Oh, I don't like that part. And so, you know, in those moments where Jesus is talking in Luke 14, this parable is a series of parables talking about caring for those who can't pay you back, invited guests. And so we hone in on a few verses. So a couple of statistics, if you want to go down there, Evan, just bring that up a little bit higher. I don't know if you can. Yeah, there you go. So the World Bank estimates that 1.2 billion people currently live in desperate poverty. What does desperate poverty mean? Believe it or not, they're trying to survive on $1 a day or less. That's globally, not just in the United States, of course, but $1 a day. So in other words, if you make more than $1 a day, you're wealthier than these 1.2 billion people in the world. Anybody make more than $1 a day? You have to raise your hand. More than $1 a day. Okay. Wealthier than the 1.2 billion. Let's go down to the next statistic. Another 1.6 billion are called very poor. So this is people living in desperate poverty, and then very poor category based on the World Bank. They said 1.6 billion, very poor, $2 a day. Anybody here make $2 a day or more? Anybody? Okay. 2.8 billion. We're wealthier now all of a sudden than 2.8 billion. Of the world's 6.5 billion population, we're wealthier. Now, if you were to take that, I didn't put all the statistics in, we're probably among the 95% wealthiest in the world. And that's even if you make 30 grand a year, right? Wealthy beyond measure compared to where it really is about perspective, isn't it? Because we compare ourselves to such and such down the road who has that car and that pool and that house and that boat and that thing, and we compare ourselves and we start to think, man, I can use a little more here. We don't realize we're among the wealthiest people in the world. What an amazing stewardship God has given to us in our wealth. Now, it's not bad to be wealthy. It's not bad. But we got to realize there's an awesome responsibility that comes with the resources God's given us. And accountability with the resources God's given us, right? And so, first and foremost, as you see, number one down there, God's heart, we hear it, is to take care of the needy. That's his passion. I read it in Psalm 68. You saw it in Luke 14. His heart is to take care of the needy. There's a high place for taking care of the needy all around us. In fact, I was reading about this one church that in their city nearby, they go every Saturday. There's a group that goes from the church, people sign up and all that, and they go into the city because they're in a just a suburb area right now, but they go into the heart of the city where there is a lot of homelessness, where there's a lot of poverty right there, and they intentionally, they bring their food supplies, and they bring sheeping, not showers, but you know what I'm saying, like soaps and things like that, blankets when it's cold and all, and they go every Saturday, and they go into the city, and then they share Christ, practically handing out these things, and then they pray with the people and share the gospel, try and lead some of the people to Christ, right? Because this is the heart of God, a defender of the weak, father to the fatherless. And so they go out, and they and there's such a value in the heart of God for what we're doing when we're reaching the poor and the needy, making it a priority to demonstrate care. James 2:5, who's got that verse? Anybody got their verse? James 2:5, you want to look it up for us? Read it out nice and loud. Somebody there? If you're there, start reading for us.
Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and that he inherit to them the promise of those who love him?
Beautiful. Right? Has he not chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith? You remember the story that Jesus told about that woman? Remember the offering was happening and all these people were coming by and they're putting in their chunks of money and, you know, it's like, boom, boom, there's take that and this and this. And she comes up and puts in these two little cup of gold. Remember the story? Jesus, guys, watch. That's the disciple. Did you see that? Did you see that? She has put in little properties. I mean, these guys are dropping 20s in the offering plate, you know? And she's putting in these two little copper coins, maybe pennies, right? She's just putting, nope, she put in more. Why? Because that was all that she had to live. In other words, it was a picture of the proportion of her heart devotion to God in those moments. So the $20 guy could have been, you know, he's got 200,000. So he's putting the 20 in. And that's so it looks like a lot compared to the woman with the two little copper coins. But Jesus is trying to get at the heart to say, what's going on in the heart? Because maybe for the two copper coins person, you know, this is all she had, right? Or for the 20 guy, it could have been like, oh, it's not a big deal. It's like chump change, right? He's looking at the heart, and he's saying, haven't I chosen the poor in this world to be rich in the eyes of God and rich in faith in that way? And so it's a flip-flop of the dichotomy of what we understand about wealth in our country. And so here's this woman giving in this way. And so, you know, think about this. Christ himself said, I have no place to lay my head, right? Now, he was a carpenter, probably could have made a good living as a carpenter. I think he had a lot of contacts. Oh boy, he had a lot of contacts. Especially when he started doing the miracle thing, right? A lot of people, oh, why don't you come build something for me? This is great, you know? And probably could have been one of the wealthiest carpenters in Nazareth if he wanted to be. Chose to be homeless. What did he say? I have no place. Some man has no place. Ladies, chose to be homeless. What? I didn't think of it like that. Yeah, Jesus chose to be homeless. Now, I'm not saying he lived out on the streets that way because it sounded like the saints provided for him and cared for him and put him in their homes and all that, but he chose to be poor. He chose to forsake the income to give himself to the ministry of what God called him to in that way. And so right away we can have some attitudes, can't we? Oh, guys can raise money and do that ministry. They don't want to work. Put Jesus' name out there. You ever think of it like that? He set the tone for us of sacrifice for the sake of building the kingdom. Making a priority of demonstrating care for those who can't pay you back. Inviting the needy. He said in Luke chapter 14, he said, don't invite the wealthy. Don't invite the ones that can pay you back. But invite the needy, those who can't pay you back, the crippled, the blind, in that way. And demonstrate love to them. I think one of the great things about what Ben's ministry is doing right now, they're renting a place right there on Brooks. Oh, I can't remember the name of the avenue. It's right there downtown in Raleigh, where NC State is, and it's a poor section, and there's actually a place right in the back part of their building where a lot of the homeless gather at night. They gather right there. And guess what? The homeless knows that there's this ministry in there that's praying, and this ministry that's having Bible studies, and this ministry. What would it be like If I knew there was a ministry in there, and I'm out here, and they totally ignore me. They totally don't pay any attention. So what did Ben do? He got his team sitting together, and we're going to go out, and we're going to feed these homeless people regularly. So he gathers muffins. And so there's muffins that he gathers as people are baking them. Here, right here in his church, people are baking them muffins and sending them to Ben, and he's taking muffins to them every morning. And he's feeding them, and he's praying with them, and he's trying to bless them. Why? Because they're starting to see what James talked about, right? James said, faith without what? Works is alive, right? No. Faith without works is dead. It's not faith. In other words, I can say, oh, be warm and well-fed. You guys out there, we're praying for you. We're praying for you homeless people there. And I say that. We're praying for you. Bless you. Bless you. You're sitting there. Hungry stomachs. No shirt, or no sweater, no blanket, you know. And so we love them with the gospel. Real practically, we earn the right to share Christ with them by caring for their need in that way. And so that's what we talk about this vision of God's heart to take care of the needy. They should be able to see our faith through the way we work with them. Now, works don't justify us before God. We know that. We're justified only by faith. But we live out this life of service, of work, in caring for the needy as a response, a heart response of faith. Folks, we need to be stirred. We're a little bit lower here. We need to be stirred indeed. From any lethargy, any indifference, to seek to meet the needs of those around us, don't we? Because they may be struggling around us with poverty, with homelessness, with depression, with things. That, when I looked at that guy's eyes, I could just tell, thank God, what's the rescue of this guy? I'm sure he's trapped in his alcoholism or whatever he was trapped in, maybe drug addiction or whatever it was, because there's something so much deeper. Folks, there is such an opportunity. But there is one other piece I wanted to address this morning, and then we'll talk about how we can get involved a little bit more. So number two, if you go to the end, there it is. To challenge us to adjust our attitude toward the needy. That's what Luke 14 does. God begins to challenge us to adjust our attitude, to change our attitude, right? Because I have to be honest with you. I've driven by somebody that's homeless, and I thought, well, he's everybody's own choice. Get a job. Anybody ever thought like that? You don't have to raise your hand. Get a job, man. What's your problem? I got a job. Right? That woman that's at the shelter? Come on, baby. Do better for yourself, right? You get that haughty attitude that somehow said, am I speaking anybody's language, right? You've had that, the wrestle with those thoughts? Man, just start taking responsibility for your life. And I'm not saying that there isn't some measure of responsibility that those that are in this place of need to take. Responsibility, opportunity. Every one of us is accountable for the resources God's given us to act on. But I've heard some heartbreaking stories. I'm sure you have too. I remember one time when we were doing some street city ministry, I was talking to a guy, and he started to tell me of his past, and my mouth was just kind of hanging open. He was a wealthy businessman. Now out on the street, had one time tried this painkiller because he had some kind of issue. I don't know, it was foot pain or knee pain or something like that. And liked it so much, got so addicted that he wound up using all of his resources. Divorced from his wife because of it. All of his resources on his addiction. And here he was out on the streets. One time, a wealthy businessman. Here he was out on the streets, and I said, So do you think about getting back to where you were? He says, I don't want to go back to there, but I want to get out of here. So why don't you want to go back to there? He says, because it was, just a facade. It was a false light. I was. He had given his heart to Christ, and he had seen change, but he was still in a place of, he needed that next step, whatever it was. He said, we don't know the story behind it. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't responsibility on their part, but I think we have to adjust attitudes in our own heart that we begin to dwell. And so in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus challenges us in this parable to care for those who can't care for themselves. And so we might have to connect with people through practical giving, through kindness, through making sacrifices for them. Possibly, I don't know, you need to be led by the Lord, but having them in your home. I mean, that's that we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. But yeah, God, what do you want us to do here? What can I do? How can I care for somebody that's genuine, that's authentic? And so this passage mentions, letter D, I'm all the way down to letter D. This passage mentions those who are poor, crippled, lame, and blind. In society, you know, oftentimes we feel sorry for people. We feel sorry for the poor. I mean, you've seen it. Somebody in a wheelchair, you walk by and you kind of don't even want to make eye contact. Why? Why don't we make eye contact? Well, I don't want to embarrass them. I get that. But at the same time, there's probably some stuff in us that is that are attitudes that the Holy Spirit's trying to get at to adjust in us to understand they're a person with a story. So let me tell you about my aunt. My aunt, one of the most vivacious women you want to meet. So caring, so loving, and totally an organizer, and family parties. Every Christmas Eve, we go to her house, and she makes all the Italian food. I mean, awesome, awesome lady. They're lovely. Had it back. You know, so one day, she goes to her doctor, and he says, oh, you got this thing and all that stuff. We got to do this, and we need to see this back. Goes to this back surgeon, and my mother talks about it. Finally, goes in for back surgery. During the back surgery, hit something, paralyzed for life. So she's been paralyzed from under her little arms, but under her arms all the way down in the wheelchair the rest of her life. This happened back in 1989. And so when I go to see my aunt, you can see the vivaciousness in her. Spirit has worn down some, you know, because it's just been really, really hard for her. But I remember those first few months, first few years even, seeing her, and, you know, she it was some brokenness she wrestled with. But she was the same vivacious, caring woman there, you know? And people probably was here in the wheelchair and just kind of... Now, if they'd have known her before she was in that wheelchair, never walked by her like that, right? Would have been like, hey, good to see you, John. Hey, how's it going? Oh, now it's kind of okay. Why? We need to examine the attitudes in our own hearts. Lord, would you give me an understanding? Would you give me a revelation? Would you give me insight to see what's going on in the heart of this person? And so I would challenge us to look past the awkwardness there and make an effort to connect with people. Maybe in those places, in the wheelchair, the crippled, the lame, blind. I mean, in society, as Jesus is calling these categories out, they were the rejected, they were the forgotten. Nobody wanted to be around them. They were unclean, outside the temple, if you will, right? And he's saying, invite them into your homes. Invite them for your luncheons, your dinners. They can't be your back, but that's what my heart is, the Father through the Father, so we found your dinners. 7 million families rescuing those from prison. And so here's what we can do. Number three, I want to kind of challenge us. Matthew 5:42. Who wants to turn there? Matthew 5:42. Somebody want to turn there? Fran's turning to that one. While she's turning that one, somebody turn to Luke 6:34-36. Greg's got that one. Luke 6:34-36. I'm just assigning them now. All right. Somebody else, Psalm 41:1-3. Isaiah, you got that one? Psalm 41:1-3. Tim, you want to do Proverbs 19:17? Tim's got that one. Okay, good. So Matthew 5:42. Brandon, ready? Go ahead.
Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away.
Awesome. So give to him who asks of you. Now, again, I know we need discretion. I mean, we need discernment. It wasn't like every homeless person that comes up to me, I want to give money to. I want to be careful. I want to know. But maybe I'm going to go get him something at Jersey Mike's and give him something to eat that way, you know? Or maybe I'm going to take time to pray with him and get him a bagel or something that would demonstrate this is the heart of Jesus for you, my brother. And so give to him who asks of you. It's Luke 6:34-36.
Yeah. And if you lend to those to whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful.
Wow. Did you get that? If you meditate on that scripture, it'll change your attitude toward those in the room around you. It'll change you. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Can we not see as we read that why the early Christians were so diligent to help the poor, obeying the commandments of Jesus and his apostles, displaying compassion? That's always characterized the people of God. That's what ought to characterize us, right? That's what people ought to be able to see. They ought to look and say, those people really care because there's something that's coming Christ through them that's coming out. Now, again, this is not a work of the flesh. It's not just us stirring it up. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us, breathe through us, and with boldness to meet those needs. Psalm 41:1-3.
Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health.
Those who do that are blessed by the Lord. And finally, Proverbs 19:10. You got that 17?
Yes. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, we will pay him again.
Have mercy upon them. Giving to the poor, lending to them, and God will pay. God sees. God sees. Whatever you've given, whatever time you've invested, whatever money you've given, whatever, God sees the heart in that way, and he will repay. He will bless. So here's a couple of challenges that I can do to remember the poor. Number one, to become more aware of the issues and the struggles around us, right? I mean, this is a simple one. We become more aware. So reading up on it, checking out some internet sites, finding out what's happening in our community, in Garden, and the needs there. There's different websites that you can touch base and find out some of that information right here. What are some of the needs? What are some of the ministries that are doing something? We've been connected over the years with Love from Jesus Ministries right here. They're just on Highway 70. Just as you go outside of Garner, as you start coming into Raleigh, where that the Hispanic shops are on that left side there, I think where the was the Golden Corral, it's back over there. There's a ministry that they're serving and giving and loving and caring for people, making aware. Number two, reflecting on your own values and lifestyle. Folks, this is the challenge, it's the heart issue, right? To begin to reject the advertising that seeks to seduce us into buying one luxury item after another. Think about, I gotta have this. This is the next thing. Man, I gotta have it, right? And secondly, to distinguish between necessities and luxuries, not buying things just because I can afford them. I mean, the Lord has provided these resources. It ought to be a good thing for me to ask, Lord, what do you want me to do with the resources you provided? Yes, there's a percentage that I'm going to give. That's my tithe. And there's a percentage that I'm probably going to save. That's what the Lord's provided. But Lord, is there other things that you want me to do to invest in, to bless, to give, to care? Distinguishing between necessities and luxuries. Questioning our own lifestyle, not our neighbors. Because that's the one, oh, well, they did this and this and this. Not our business. Not business. God's not going to make you would stand before me now. Okay, so give an account for the guy that lived down the block. Talk to me about what he did with his resources, would you? You're not accountable. What are you accountable for? What I've given you. That's what you're going to stand accountable for God for, right? Considering simplifying your own lifestyle so you can spend less and give more away. I love the story of, I can't remember the leader it was, but I remember him saying, praying and asking the Lord, Lord, would you increase my salary? Lord, would you increase my salary? Lord, would you increase my salary? And somehow the Lord did that and provided. And so his vision was they were going to do the reverse tithe. They were going to live on the 10% of what God provided and give away 90%. That's the way they chose to live. I remember reading about that in his testimonial. And God always provided. So maybe it was God provided 100,000. They lived on the 10. They gave away 90. How do you do that? I guess you just obey God. What does he tell you to do? And he provides. And so I'm not proposing that's what you need to do, but you need to give away 90. In fact, yeah, the church budget, we could use your 90 and then the building fund. So that's not what I'm proposing. But I'm saying, Lord, how can I spend less so I can give it? How can I be thinking about the poor and the needy? Because you remember that statistic, you don't have to go back there. But remember, it's like $1.2 billion, $1 a day, $1.6 billion, $2 a day. I think I'm pretty well off compared to them, don't you? The And finally, getting involved, taking action, number three there. So there's reputable organizations we can get involved with, Compassion International, World Vision, the MICA Challenge, Opportunity International, just four that I know of that you could plug into and adopt. Orphans, widows, those in need across the world. There's local ministries, like I mentioned, With Love from Jesus. I'll encourage you to volunteer. Find out what's in our area that you can be a part of if you're not a part of something else. Go to the abortion clinic. Even if it's once a month, Greg's going every week, but you can go in once a month, pray with the people. You don't have to be the one calling out of the chair, and that's okay, man. But you can be the one praying, interceding, standing with, and God may bring somebody over to you that you get a chance to talk to. Yeah, it's awesome. And so don't just give financially, get involved personally, right? So I finished my conclusion. Galatians 6:10 says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those in the household of faith. For God's heart is to care for the needy. So he wants to challenge me about my attitude. And he wants to begin to challenge me about some steps that I can take in obedience to God to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. As we said this in the beginning, he's a defender. He's a father to the fatherless. A defender of the widow and the orphan, right in that way. He sets them only in families, and he releases those that are in prison from oppression. And guess what? You and I are his tools to do that. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your provision. We're so thankful that you have blessed us beyond $1 a day, that you have blessed us beyond $2 a day. Lord, it's really magnanimous what you blessed us with. In fact, our cups are overflowing, Lord. It goes beyond what we can even measure. And we're so thankful for your provision for us. We're so thankful. And yet, Lord, we struggle in saying we want more, more, more. Lord, we don't want more to spend on ourselves, Lord. We don't want more to just engorge ourselves in that way. We want you to provide for our needs, but Lord, we want more so that we could be givers, lavish givers, blessing those that are in need around us, finding the needy, and Lord, investing in them one way or another. Lord, it's not more money necessarily, maybe more time that I invest in blessing the needy. It may be more prayer that I invest in caring for those around. Maybe more support that I offer to those that are doing some frontline ministry with them. It may be a visitation. Lord, we're just asking for your wisdom, your grace in this season. We're asking for you to lead us. Now check those attitudes in our hearts that talk about me first, me, my needs, my wants, my desires. Lord, would you help us to go to the cross? As you said, if we want to truly live, we have to die. If we truly want to receive, we need to give. So Lord, we just want to lay our hearts before you and say, God, change what's in here. Stir this up. Stir my heart, God. Maybe you'll speak to me about somebody that's in a place of need that I can be a vessel you can touch and use to reach them. I ask you in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. We're